Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 794, Need Some Support, recorded live on August 19th, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am your host, Godzilla's T.
And I'm Haas.
And welcome back to Podtacular. We took a little bit of a hiatus last week. There wasn't a lot going on, but we're back this week, continuing our little journey towards Halo Infinite and taking a retrospective look back at some of the things that we have got to experience in the past Halo games. So far, we've taken a look at the multiplayer side of things. We took a little look at Master Chief as part of Grimm's 117th cannon fodder. So today we are going to be taking a look at some of the supporting characters of Halo. People like Miranda, Johnson, could consider the Arbiter a supporting character in a sense. You've got all the Covenant leader heads like Truth and Mercy and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that as our main topic, but as we always do for our podcast, we have a little bit of a community update to go through. So let's start it off with GT and a little recap on our recent Fraggin' Fridays. How have things been over on the multiplayer side of things?
Oh, we were having a lot of fun. Played a little bit of Warzone, played a lot of Super Fiesta. It's kind of our go-to. We even ended up on Vehicle Fiesta for the closeout for the night.
And somehow I won. I have no idea how that happened, but somehow I won.
Yeah, everybody's complaining because I was late to the game because Halo 5 decided to boot me. So it's like, we only played to 25 kills, and I figured, yeah, by the time I get to this, get in the game, there's going to be like 5 kills left. Okay, fine. I finally get into the game. I go through the door. I spawn. I get a Hannibal tank. Fine. I load in. I get 6 kills. Just bang, 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 and you know, I'm in the lead. And then everybody else decided I was their favorite target for the rest of the match. I think that's the only reason that Dust won is because everybody else was shooting me and not him. And he was just doing cleanup kills.
I mean, sure. Makes sense, right?
What is Vehicle Fiesta?
It's Super Fiesta with vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah, so you spawn in your own room. There's 2 teleporters and it takes you to 2 random...
Just takes you to a
random-ish.
random room that has a vehicle in it. And then once you climb into the vehicle, it teleports you onto the battlefield.
Oh, that's cool.
It's interesting. It's an interesting way to kind of do the Fiesta with vehicles. But it surprisingly works pretty well.
Yeah, it does. I mean, since Halo 5 doesn't have any real way to, you know, spawn a person with a random vehicle, the creator decided to do it that way, where you walk through the teleporter and you've got a choice. 50-50 shot, you're going to get something good. You know, you have a door on the right and left. You walk through one of them and lo and behold, you get a vehicle.
Yep.
Cool.
Pretty much. So that was our Fraggin' Friday. And then last week, we actually did some Halo 4 achievements on 360. And we actually ran into a very good group on the Halo Completionist Discord server.
Mm-hmm.
Both GT
shout out
and
to
I
them.
Yeah. Huge shout outs to the Halo Completionist Discord and their community. And GT and I were actually able to completely finish all of our Halo 4 360 achievements, including Ricochet ones.
Yeah.
Which was,
believe it or not,
incredible.
They actually had Ricochet in the game, in the playlist.
Yeah. Like, there was a team objective and Ricochet was almost in every selectable voting.
Yeah, I think we only had a couple of them that we didn't get Ricochet.
I think it was maybe 2 at the most, but
yeah,
we helped plenty of other folks get achievements for them as well. Pins hopped in at one point and got some achievements that he needed. It was overall a good time, and some of them started following the channel and listening to the podcast again. So if you guys are listening, thank you so much for the help. We're going to be around to do some more of those here pretty soon. We've got some Halo 3 and Halo Reach ones that we need to do, but that it was a really pleasant time. I was pleasantly surprised on how much fun that night actually was. So,
yeah, Halo 4 was the one I had the most still to do, and of course they were all Ricochet achievements.
So if you're looking for achievements on the 360 titles, definitely go join the Halo Completionist Discord, because there are people there that are looking, and pretty much everyone that we met up with were very friendly, like very willing to help people out. And there was even a couple of people that we ran into in matchmaking who figured out what we did and actually kind of helped us along the way too. And then there were the jerks that didn't.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was actually a very pleasant experience.
But the jerks kind of figured out when everybody else in the game was trying to kill them that maybe they should not really do that.
All in all, it was a very fun time. So definitely looking forward to doing more. If you all need help with those, please post in our Discord and we'll make sure we tag you whenever we go and do this again. It was a lot of fun. Haas, do you still have 360 achievements that you're going for, or are you just kind of chalking those up as a lost cause?
The only 360 Halo achievements I do not have is Halo Wars, and I think I'm okay.
So Halo Wars is actually not shutting down multiplayer in December, you'd technically be okay with that.
All right, well, then I'm good there.
It's just Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 3 ODST, and Halo 4.
All those are 360 versions. Completely done.
Yeah, 360 all those, versions, yes.
All those are done, and I'm kind of chipping away at some of the lassos with somebody on MCC, so...
Those are like my last ones on MCC I have to get.
I have There's to do a couple all those three-hour ones, and I'm just like, ugh.
Halo 2 is the only three-hour one I have left. Then I have all the lasos, and then just some Halo 2 anniversary-specific multiplayer. Those are the only achievements I have left in MCC. Lasos are going to be a freaking pain.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. News with the sub. Thank you, bud. Thanks for being here on especially late night for you. And thank you for the raid earlier, too. Let's see. Taking a look at our company commendations as well, I think we've actually gotten a couple recently. Am I? Because we're at 25 out of 31 now. Do you remember which one it is that we got, GT?
No, it never tells you. It just gives you a pack.
Yeah. The one at the bottom is killing an enemy Spartan with a headshot, which I think was one of the ones.
Yeah, that was one of the ones missing.
So I think that may have been our latest one that we got.
And then we finished up the assassinating Spartans.
Oh, okay.
And then we got the melee kills. I think so. Those are the latest ones.
Okay. And then the next closest one we have, which is actually pretty close, is Lucky, which is Cluster Luck, Last Shot, Sayonara, or Fastball. And we need another 53. So pretty close on those. I figure we'll get that one pretty soon, probably within the month or so.
Probably.
And then Forget to Pay the Toll, which is kill the driver of a moving vehicle by using a sniper rifle. We have another 106. So Keys, get on it. Then we got
I've actually gotten a couple of those.
Nice. Warzone or Big Team?
Both. It's kind of easy when they stop the Warthog right in front of you while you're zoomed in with a sniper rifle. Okay, fine.
That does. Keys better get on the stick for that then. Yeah, right. Then we got killing enemy Spartans with grenades, with ground vehicles, killing Marines, and shoulder bashes.
Yeah, that Marine one's... Yeah, I think that's the one that's going to put the nail in the coffin.
So the pain train is technically behind that one.
Yeah.
By percentage.
Yeah, but I'm betting we'd get the pain train done before we get the Marine kills done.
Possibly. But those last two are definitely our Achilles heel.
Yep.
That was pun intended. Because it's going for the Achilles helmet. Anyways. So that's a quick look at our company commendations. We're still working at it, even though we know we won't be done by the time Halo Infinite comes out, and we'll have a lot of time after the fact to probably try to get it if Halo 5 continues to be a thing for the community. I know I'll probably hop on it every once in a while, but main focus will most likely be Infinite after it comes out.
Well, yeah, it's going to be all Infinite all the time for a while.
It'd be nice if, how Hasa said, I think over the last two podcasts, they released Halo 5 on PC.
Sure would have helped.
I would appreciate them to get done with Infinite before they start that particular project.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Let's see. Let's go ahead and move on over to the update from last week. We had the update actually post last week, but we decided to do the achievements back then, so we hadn't had a chance to go over it. So let's go over that. Let's go ahead and start off, GT, with the Halo 5 playlist update. What we got coming in?
Well, starting this weekend, we've got Core Play rotates in for Triple Team. Next weekend on the 26th, we get Covenant Slayer rotating in for Core Play, and Warzone Turbo goes live.
Turbo time!
Hey, have you done anything about what we discussed earlier on that? Anything about that? Dust is totally lost now. Anyway, for September,
yes, I am.
The Fall Arena 2021 season begins. On September 2nd, Ranked Mythic Arena rotates in for Ranked Snipers for the month. We also get Rock and Rail coming in for Covenant Slayer. On September 9th, we get Roman King. On September 16th, ODST Slayer rotates in. And Warzone Assault goes live. For the weekend of September 23rd, you get Griffball. And for September 30th, we get Community Slayer rotating back in. And Warzone Turbo goes live again.
Turbo. So what was the thing that I was supposed to get with you other than the overlay? Was it the overlay or something else?
No, a little audio excerpt that you were going to maybe get taken care of by a certain...
Oh, yes. He's still been like adding things to it. So
I didn't know if you'd already contacted him or not.
Not yet. I feel like I want to get a few more sayings or lines other than that, because I think we've only specified three or four at this point. So I just need to get my button gear and actually ask people for ideas. So I will attempt to do that this weekend.
And then for MCC, we got Shoddy Snipers entering the fray, as well as Escalation Slayer returns to Action Sack. We have Halo 2 Anniversary Team Hardcore coming in as Halo Reach Team Hardcore rotates out.
Perfect for the Twitch Rivals things that's currently happening right now, which great timing on that one on a Thursday night. I've seen multiple people online like, why are you doing this during a weekday?
Because
people aren't like not able to watch it and whatnot. Anyways, so yeah, there's a Halo 2 event happening as we're recording this podcast, actually, for Twitch Rivals. There's quite a few ex-Halo pros coming out of the woodwork playing in there. Walshy's in there. T-Squared's in there, I think.
Ghost Ayame. Ace. Enable from recent Call of Duty fame is in there. Flamesword. Yeah, there's a lot of talent in there. Or former talent. A lot of
old talent. Yeah.
I mean, Snakebite's in there, so I mean you got a little young blood in there. Or
but I mean Snakebite's been around for...
Yeah, maybe you go modern blood, not young blood. And he just did something ridiculous, but
are you watching on the site too?
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to watch it all today.
Carbon versus the Agency.
They're already on the finals?
Yeah. So you got Ghost Ayame against Elamite's team. Or Elamite? Elamite? I don't know.
Elamite.
I can never get that right. But
I've always heard it say Elamite.
Okay. Perfect.
That's just what I've heard.
I'll roll with it.
I'm a pleb scrub, so what do I know? So yeah, that's happening right now. Obviously, if you're listening to this on the download, it's already come and gone. I'm sure there'll be VODs of it posted somewhere, probably in some Halo update. But yep, that's happening right now. lots of good Halo content. I know quite a few people that have been watching it all day. I am not one of those because I have normal work week priorities that...
Yeah, I have this thing called a job.
Me too.
I think it's a soft J, though.
Yeah, mine's not a soft J.
I've got two jobs. We're seeing a trainer now. That's on Thursdays.
Health is a full-time job.
Had a late meeting today. Oh, man. Our trainer, he like one of the chillest, nicest guys that you could ever meet. But he knows how to work us. Like, it's
you're going to be a Spartan in no time.
That's the goal.
You're going to be kidnapped in the middle of the night.
Get these injections. I have no idea what
augmentations will do to me. You know, experimental drugs, which is sometimes cool if you survive.
If.
And after you're all done, your arms will look like you're a crackhead.
Not getting jacked. Not getting jacked, but definitely want to get fit. I got 80 pounds of dust to lose. Target's 50, goal is 80.
Hey, do it.
Speaking of MCC, we've got Season 8 Flighting coming up here pretty soon. So that is now on the sites. They haven't said too much about what it's going to entail, but we know from what they've said in the past, they're looking at some Halo 2 customization to add. There is another feature, I think I saw this on one of Late Night Halo's videos, where they're looking at the view model for your hands, being able to kind of move that around and adjust that. So that's a new thing that's possibly coming. But make sure your insider profile is up to date to be part of the Season 8 Flighting. That's probably going to be coming here pretty soon, if they're already talking about it. What else we got here in the update? There's some new Halo gear that's out there. Lots of cool new Halo shirts. There's one with a gravity hammer, one with an energy sword, which is pretty cool for those that are into Griffball. You can get one of each and wear that. A couple other small things. I think we mentioned a few of these last time, but just to reiterate them again, there's a little Halo update on Waze. So if you use that as your main navigating app, you can now get the voice of Escherim or Master Chief in as your navigating voice. And then there's a Banished Ghost and the Warthog that you can have as your little vehicle decal. And there's also, I believe, a Master Chief helmet and... I forget what the other Covenant one is, or the Banished one is, as your little emote for those that use Waze. There's a couple of cameo appearances for Halo-related stuff in Free Guy, which I still need to go see the movie, and from what I've heard, it's a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have either of you seen it yet?
My brother went and saw it, called me to tell me I need to go see it, because he enjoyed it, and he goes, and there's Halo in it. I was like, well, I figured, but I do plan to see it, so.
Mm-hmm. I want to see it very soon. There is a new hog that was developed by Hoonigan Industries that was made as, I don't know if it was specifically for advertisement for this, but it was at the premiere for Free Guy. And there's also a cameo of a mantis, and it's even on the movie poster. There's a mantis, so.
I need to see this Warthog in a Hoonigan YouTube video where they're ripping down the streets like they do with the Mustang and their other vehicles. That would be very enjoyable for me to see a Warthog in real world situations just flying around. I would love that.
I have no idea who Hoonigan is. I'm guessing you have some experience with it since you're talking
about
it.
They're a very fun group of YouTube content creators.
Okay. Cool.
But it takes a very special person to watch them for more than 10 minutes.
Fair enough. There's the Halo Infinite Donut, which is exclusive to Mexico. Unfortunately, it's only exclusive only to Mexico.
Oh, nice.
The Halo Pringles are back. This time they are in Brazil, for those down there. And then just a couple of reminders, the Halo Xbox 360 services that are sunsetting, which kind of talked about those a little bit already. And then the previous cannon fodder, 117, we actually took a little part of. All that good stuff. And then the last little piece in here, which is part of their little 4K artwork that they do from time to time, which I don't even remember seeing this, but this was for Forward Unto Dawn. This little Field Depot concept at the bottom of the update. I don't think I have ever seen this before. Have you, GT, or?
I don't know for sure.
So, yeah, this was a new piece that I hadn't seen. So that's it for all the kind of official Halo news type stuff. Not a lot going on. Pretty calm right now. I know there's been a lot of chatter in the Halo community about not a lot of new stuff happening, which is one of the reasons why we kind of took last week off a little bit. But hopefully we'll get something here soon. I know PAX is coming up here in a couple of weeks.
I don't think they're participating in that, though. I think Microsoft pulled out of PAX, but we have Gamescom next week, which I know a lot of people are excited.
Oh, is that next week?
Yeah, that is next week. I
thought Gamescom.
I think opening night live with Jeff Keighley is next Thursday or Wednesday, and then Microsoft is said to be there.
Was Gamescom always before PAX? For some reason, I thought it was.
Well, sometimes it had crossed with RTX, and then it got really close to PAX, and then it became like a week or two before PAX, because everything we saw at Gamescom / E3 ended up at PAX.
Okay. That's right. Okay, so Gamescom has been before. All right.
So next Wednesday is opening night live, and Microsoft is said to be participating in that. And I think
so we might have some news next week.
Yeah, IGN posted Microsoft specific like premiere holds on YouTube last night for Microsoft. So at scheduled for 8:24 at 10 a.m. Gamescom 2021 Xbox live stream. And I can I can add that to our chat so you can share that in the notes if you want.
Sure. All right. Good to know. So we might hear some stuff next week. We are planning to have Prestige on for next week's show as he's redeeming one of his Patreon rewards for being a guest host. So we'll have something exciting to talk about, hopefully.
Sure hope
so. That'd be nice. Yeah. All right, so to get into the meat of today's topic, we've got a lot of supporting characters in the Halo universe. I think for me, I was kind of thinking about this a little bit before we got started tonight, and I guess let me start off with a question for you guys. What do you think which game do you think has the best, for the first-person shooters, has the best cast of supporting characters?
It's hard to argue against Halo Reach because you had the entire Noble team there, and you also had Halsey, and what was the AI that was kind of like
Dot. Anti-Dot.
Yeah, they were just so present. I'm kind of biased towards Halo 2 and 3. Because I feel like you had Covenant, you had Flood, you had the Prophets, you had the Elites, and so I always liked that. And then ODST is also a very beloved group of soldiers. And even when you did the audio logs, those were always really popular. That story, listening to that unfold was... I don't know if you would call that a side character, but I would. But for me, it's probably Halo 2 or Halo 3, but I think a good argument for Noble Team and the ODSTs and Halo 3 ODST could be very well made.
Okay. I hadn't even considered the whole thing with audio logs, so I'm going to have to keep that in the back of my mind as we kind of talk about this tonight.
No, it's definitely a good...
Haas, what about...
definitely a good side story.
What about for you, Haas?
You mean GT, since Haas just finished?
Or sorry, yes, GT.
I'm sorry.
Just answered this question. Do you want me to answer it again?
Yep. GT. Hey, Fuchs.
As far as my favorite with side characters, probably ODST. Don't get me wrong, Halo 2 and Halo 3, they had quite a few side characters in it, but it was very distant. It just seemed like a very distant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just felt a lot less personal than it did in ODST. With Reach, you get the loss mechanic going in there as well. Because, I mean, you basically lose your entire team save one. So there's the heart wrench there. But then you have ODST, which is this big success story where you rejoin and your whole team gets out alive. So they're kind of polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Johnson is probably my most favorite single character. You know, when he was killed in Halo 3, it gutted me. I'm like, my favorite character.
A lot of people's favorite character.
That's how I felt about Keyes.
But, you know, throughout the entire franchise, there's been high quality characters, supporting characters that have really added to the story.
I would say for me, probably Halo 2, just with how much of the story in the universe was expanded upon and how, like, night and day almost we got from CE's story and how concentrated it was on the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, like, you still had great supporting roles there with 343 Guilty Spark and the Flood and the Covenant. Like, obviously, the initial stand up is going to be pretty significant, but Halo 2 just did a lot to expand on all of that and add so much depth to what the Flood actually is with the Gravemind, and then what is this Covenant hierarchy with High Charity and the Prophets and all of the turmoil going on from a political standpoint, and then the relationships with Chief and then Johnson, and then the kind of connections with the Arbiter and Chief and how that kind of story melts. But then Halo 3 ODST would probably be my other one, given that how just narratively how that story was told. Like the back and forth, and you got to play as each individual character almost. So you got different perspectives throughout. So, like, even though you were playing those characters, they were all supporting characters in some form or fashion for that one. So I would say probably those two for me.
Do we consider the Arbiter a side character, or do we consider him?
So that's a good question. One of the things I wanted to bring up, actually, because while you do play the Arbiter in Halo 2, and I guess technically in Halo 3, you could play as the Arbiter. Like,
I mean, from a story standpoint,
it's kind of a weird borderline. Yeah.
From a story standpoint, in Halo 2, he was a main character. He was a main character of the story. In Halo 3, he was kind of moved into that side character position. Or supporting character. Sure. Right.
Then Halo 5, definitely a supporting character.
Yeah. Yep. Well, almost a non-existent character.
He's a supporting character.
In a way, it's like throughout the first-person shooter games, at least, you've always seen the Arbiter as kind of like, almost as core of a supporting character as Cortana.
Now, see, I always considered Cortana as a main character.
Interesting.
You know, like yin and yang.
She's in your head the whole time, so it does.
Most of the time. But I mean,
yeah.
For more or less, yeah.
I mean, the only real game she was away from, as far as the Master Chief games, is Halo 3, where you spend half the game collecting her.
Searching, yeah.
Oh, but in Halo 5, we didn't really have her.
No, well, in Halo 5, her role in the series changed. But for
sure did.
Like I said, for most of her life, most of the character's life, she was a main character. I mean, even in Halo 3, she was still a main character. She just showed up later in the game. You know, she contributed to the story a lot more than a side character does. You know, she wasn't just comic relief like really Johnson was.
Yeah.
In Halo 5...
Almost was chief in a way in some cases.
In Halo 5, she moved to being the villain of the story. You know, she basically took Gravemind's place. So, yeah, it's for, you know, most of the franchise, I would consider her a main character until Halo 5.
I'd almost argue in Halo 4, she'd be kind of supporting character just because of how different the dynamic is between Chief and Cortana and what 343 did with that story.
Yeah, but she was still pretty integral to the story of the game, story of Halo 4.
It's weird because I never felt closer to Cortana than I did in Halo 4. Like Halo 3, probably because of the early missions, I was more annoyed by her than I was like,
well, that's of all the interruptions. Said for anybody. Yeah. I mean, you're in the middle of a mission and all of a sudden you go into slow-mo.
Right. And like, even when Chief reunited with Cortana in Halo 3, I just didn't feel the same connection to her that I did in Halo 4. Like Halo 4, mm-hmm. I just felt like I was on this journey with her trying to save her along with the universe, ultimately. But it just felt so vital. Where in Halo 3, I didn't feel like Cortana was like this person I had to go save or had to be there for or needed there the same way. Yeah, it
felt a little bit more forced.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, 343 and Halo 4, they really cranked up heartstrings for
the
Cortana-Chief relationship. Yeah. Where with Bungie, they still had Chief treating her like she was a tool. I mean, don't get me wrong. You did see the friendship develop over the three games, but she was no different than the rifle he was carrying. He cared greatly for it. Matter of fact, they've stated in the books that, yeah, she was a tool, but the way Spartans treat their tools is with the utmost respect. Mm-hmm. And they take great care of those tools.
I couldn't even say that I feel CE was 343, or not 343, excuse me. I feel like CE was Bungie's best Chief Cortana relationship. And maybe because we're laying the foundation for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say Halo 4, without question, is 343's masterpiece of a narrative and storytelling to this date so far. But Halo 2, she was kind of more fun. And then Halo 3, I just couldn't. The connection just was not there.
Yeah.
For me.
In Halo 2, they brought out a lot more of the smart.
Yeah. It was kind of like
both of them.
You're a ball busting sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt like in Halo 3, a lot of the supporting characters were almost just pawns in telling the finality of the story.
Kind of like hitting beats. Like,
yeah. Like, I felt like, I mean, you obviously had this big build-up in Halo CE because it's the very first game. There's a lot going on. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of development there, and we get that with... I mean, you could say the world is a supporting character. You could say the like Covenant as an entity is a supporting character, and then all the other stories that tie in around that. But Halo 2, that really dug in and expanded upon so many different facets of the universe, and then Halo 3 was just like, okay, we need to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
But almost like, to me, Halo 3 was...
Well, Halo 3 felt like Halo 2's finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and there wasn't a lot of character development.
In Halo 2, we had Cortana, Tartarus, Arbiter, the other elites. I'm awful at their names. Forgive me, lore people.
Shipmaster.
Yeah, you had them.
You have the Fel Prophets. And,
you know, you really got Miranda Keys. You had Johnson.
Gravemind.
Like, you really...
Lord Hood.
Yeah, even Hood was introduced. I forgot about Hood. And, you know, I just... Maybe it's the introduction of characters that really adds to the supporting roles, where in Halo 3 and Halo 5 is just kind of like, here's more of them. Where, but 5, I just, 5 was just, I think, beating on the beaten drum, but just wasn't the best storytelling and developing of a lot of the characters in Osiris. And even, I don't feel like Blue Team really got the opportunity to show the relationship a lot of us, especially long-term fans or people that read some of the early books, were expecting and hoping to see there. I think we kind of just didn't quite live up to the expectation there for all the side characters or supporting cast. And then the Warden was boring.
I would agree.
The Warden was holy.
Yeah. I think Halo 5 and Halo 3, in my opinion, are probably the lowest on the totem pole when it comes to supporting character development. Mm-hmm.
In Halo 3, they had to introduce a lot of new characters to take Cortana's place. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't the same. You know, you didn't...
Well, I didn't even feel like they introduced a lot.
Well, they didn't really introduce. I mean, they just used Miranda, other characters to fill those shoes.
Yeah. Like, sure. Yeah, Johnson in the early missions, kind of speaking in through your intercom.
Mm-hmm.
Or your walkie-talkie or whatever. Or you're running through Sierra 117. And then you had Miranda belting at you, and you're just waiting for her to die later on.
I just feel like, and this is just for me personally, I feel like Halo 2's story was such a masterpiece in storytelling from multiple facets, just with the introduction of, well, a lot of different things, really. Like, you have the Arbiter being I guess we'll say the Arbiter is probably a main supporting character, if not like maybe the third main character in the bunch.
And the cinematic setting up those characters too in Halo 2.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man.
Like I just did the Delta Halo mission, and just that interaction of all the ODSTs and Chief getting ready to drop down, and just from the beat on the outside of the pod to Miranda talking and the random ship pilot guy, you know, just those types of beats I definitely feel we're missing in Halo 3 and Halo 5.
Yeah, for sure. But let's talk about a few of the characters. We could talk about supporting characters, kind of like you had alluded to a little bit earlier, Haas, as like the audio logs from ODST, or could look at more of the supporting, like, universe building as a side character as well, like the how the Covenant was introduced or really expanded upon in Halo 2, and then how we've got the introduction of the Banished and all that stuff. So we could kind of hop around those, but I guess kind of makes sense to start at everyone's favorite, Johnson.
Everybody loves Johnson.
And we've we've talked about it a couple times when DJ was on about kind of the origin or the inspiration for Johnson coming from Alien vs. Predator. Yep. Just the snark.
The wisecracking Sturgeon.
Responses. Yep.
Been there, like, done that.
A character that, yep, knows when to be serious and knows when to crack a joke.
It really, he's one of those guys that really, I think, helped the player kind of just want to continue on. Like, he was just added that relief in. It was a serious, but he's also that person we all know that will kind of make you laugh in a serious situation, but he also keeps you focused on what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Halo has been able to recapture that with another character. And it kind of makes me sad that Johnson was killed off.
Yeah.
I feel like they tried to do that a little bit with Buck in Halo 5, but just the whole dynamic of Osiris, and then
I'm not a Buck fan.
Just how that story.
I'm the worst with that. He had a couple, you know, one liners in 5, but I don't know. I liked ODST Buck way more than I liked Spartan Buck.
Yeah, same here. ODST Buck felt a lot more
natural. It almost felt like, just to kind of put the whole corporate spin on it, it almost feels like Halo 5 was corporatized.
Yeah.
Whereas Halo 3 ODST and some of the Bungie stuff was a lot more kind of the free form.
Like, hey, independent. Hey, you're a fan? You want to do something with our game? Cool. Here you go.
Yeah. Whereas Halo 5 is very, like...
Here, let me cut you a check.
Stay within the bounds
of the script. I was so looking forward to Thorn in Halo 5.
I think a lot of people were. Like, I was too. Like, I thought that was going to be where, like, the character they were going to bring into Halo 5. And it's just... Nope.
Yeah, with everything that they did
that
in Spartan Ops
storyline is just...
I thought they were going to bring some of that forward. And just, you know, lop it off. It's like, really?
So Pence, and I didn't know this. I'm curious where they said this. They only put Buck in when the actor for Thorn wasn't available. I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Do you have a source for that, Pence? Because that kind of changes my perspective.
Obviously, we all know
quite
that
a bit.
He was replaced by Buck.
But. Right, but I didn't know it was a matter of the Thorn actor wasn't available. I mean, that makes me feel a little bit less mad at 343. It was an interview that they had Nathan Fillion. Okay, interesting. But yeah, that whole Spartan Ops development, I mean, that's a whole other can of worms that we could dive into as well. It is nice, though, like the shout out to Johnson that we got in the Livefire map in Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
The agent or the Sergeant Avery Johnson training center. So it's cool to see 343 still recognize that Johnson is a beloved
character. Still waiting for Johnson to be cloned.
I'm sure there's a Johnson child out there somewhere in all of his
escapades. With all of his escapades, there's got to be at least one Johnson Jr. out there.
There's got to be. You can do it, 343. We know you can.
We don't even care if it's forced.
Well, really, it doesn't have to be with the ending of Contact Harvest.
Exactly.
I mean, they pretty much lay it out.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Yep, they do. So, thank you for the follow, Hayden. I didn't know you weren't followed. You've rated us plenty of times, but you weren't followed.
Maybe accidentally pushed.
Hey, Prestige. Button. Could have. Yeah, that's true. Anything else to talk about, Johnson, other than...
His tragic death.
Unfortunate demise. Yeah.
Burned by an orb.
I mean, at least there was a purpose to it. It wasn't necessarily the best way to go out, but at least there was meaning behind it, which is more than what you could say for Miranda or Kat.
Yeah, there's some of the... Well, a lot of the deaths in the Halo universe, you're like, why? I mean, in Halo Reach... It makes sense because they'd already kind of set the tone with the death of George. That, and we all know how, you know, what happens at Reach anyway, that not everybody's going to make it. It's just a matter of when and how. I'm just trying to figure out how the hell one needle rifle shot makes it through the energy shields and the helmet to insta-kill her.
So supposedly the energy shields were down because of the EM radiation.
Yeah.
So there's
that. Except for Mjolnir armor's hardened against EMP pulses.
I know.
Which they have demonstrated multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, they've used EMP weapons while doing spacewalks in the extended fiction. So, I mean... And what happens to their head? It flickers.
Got it. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's a silly, silly death. And that's actually a different Hayden. It's a Halo guy from who we played with last week. So thank you for the follow, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on over. To Prestige's comment, I mean, you do see it in like multiplayer whenever you have needle rifle. It does penetrate the armor. So I'm...
Yeah, but it takes more than one shot.
Not if your shields are down. If you get a headshot with a needle rifle, you're done. It's a headshot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have no shields, it's a headshot kill. So I mean, it makes sense. It was just a very stupid death.
Yeah, you know, I hope that's something Halo can do, because I do think supporting roles, especially in a space opera that Halo is, you do need supporting role death.
You need something that kind of helps solidify their importance.
I just hope.
Because if you just have a supporting character and they just keep on going and going and going, it gets boring.
And, you know, I feel that is a way 343 could really evolve their storytelling to the next level, is kind of capture what we're seeing a lot of TV and other games do with supporting role deaths, and or even main character deaths in some cases, but that's something I definitely hope we get to see more of. Because I honestly, since Captain Keys, I haven't felt a death in the Halo universe really felt like an impact to the story. Like, they were there, and it
like Cortana's sucked. Was until
Johnson it, sucked, until she but came it was back. Just yeah, until the death yeah. was kind of retconned.
Like, I bawled my eyes out to that final scene in Halo 4.
Yeah. I mean, 343 knows how to kill off a character correctly. They proved that in Halo 4. The problem is they brought that character back, which...
Yeah, I stepped back from that.
Decision. I understand what they were doing with the character, but it just... It's a bad design for a story.
And then how they took out Jewel. That was fun. They built all this strong character in Spartan Ops, and then... All right, let's just nix them in the beginning of Halo 5.
Yeah, there's a 10-second fight, and he gets his neck snapped. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Since when?
That's one thing that Halo's never really done or attempted to do, is like have a really good boss fight with that you partake in. Like, you have the quick time event thing that you have with the Didact in Halo 4, which isn't really an encounter. It's more just a scripted event. And then the Warden, I wouldn't count that one really as a significant boss battle. But, like, the thing between Chief and Locke, or the whole thing with... Like, there's just so many, like, boss battle opportunities that I feel like Halo just hasn't approached well before. And, I mean, in some cases, you're limited because it's a first-person shooter, so there's only so much that you can do or support in a boss battle type experience. But I feel like there's ways that you can make that feel more engaging. It has to give meaning towards those encounters. Like, like there's some of those in Halo 2, but that's because how Halo 2 does its cinematics is just so motivating and... It's like a movie, whereas some of these other ones, it's just like, okay, we're just doing this because it needs to be done to tell the story. It's not very inspiring. So I hope they can find something like that.
Your final fight with Tartarus at the end of Halo 2, that was a boss battle.
And that's like probably one of the only... I mean, I guess we have a boss battle-ish with Guilty Spark at the end of Halo 3, but like Tartarus is probably the best example.
No, I wouldn't even... No, I don't. You're shooting three times with a Spartan laser and battle over. No.
It's probably the second best example we have in the Halo universe so far, or at least for the first.
I won't argue that point.
The boss battles in Halo Wars are
the whole.
I mean, they're next level.
Oh yeah, but in a top down game, you can do things differently than you can do in a shooter.
Right.
Going into, a hand-to-hand combat like the Locke Chief fight just doesn't fit the genre of the game.
But, I mean, what they don't... Like, the boss battle with Tartarus in Halo 2 has proven that there is a way to do it.
There is a way to do it, but it wasn't the type of fight that they wanted Locke and Chief to have. They wanted Locke and Chief to go fist-to-fist, which doesn't really fit a first person shooter.
Right.
So really the only way they could do that is in a cutscene. They didn't want you to have a shootout with Locke because Chief is actually just trying to get away from him, not killing. Which is if Chief and Locke actually got into a gunfight, Locke's dead. no matter how good he is.
Right.
Because, I mean, even without a gun, Chief Kick.
Yep.
So, you know,
I do think you can have good first person boss battles. I don't know if you guys have played Doom or the recent Wolfenstein games, but there's some pretty good boss battles in those games that are exciting and engaging. And I think about the Halo universe, and you got all kinds of different Covenant enemies. You have that, well, I guess that brute from the Elite 117 or whatever, 1337. I guess that's not lore, but you know that.
Oh, the super brute.
Yeah, in Halo Legends.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one.
But like, you know, we've seen in Ford Unto Dawn, we've seen Chief jump on a Hunter, stuff like that. Like, if Hunters are harder to battle, it's not going to be the sidestep, shoot them in the back this time. You know, maybe there is potential for a boss battle against two Hunters. And I mean, Hunters are huge, and those can be engaging battles, like in a little miniature arena. So I think there is potential there for them to do that. And especially with brutes, I think brutes are they're such a unique enemy type. And if we get like Escherim or whoever, maybe there's other generals or whatever that we don't know about yet, but having different types of engagements, maybe these different brutes have trained in different forms, different ways, they fight different combat styles. I think we could have some pretty good mini boss battles, and you know, hopefully a culmination of like a final boss battle that's not a Tartarus again.
Well, you know, like with you're talking about Hunters, I've seen some mods out there where you can actually board a Hunter and plant a grenade like you do with a vehicle. Something, a mechanic like that where you have to get around behind them to be able to plant the grenade. That could be a boss battle, you know, a boss battle mechanic. The one thing is, to have a true boss battle, you really need to have some type of mechanic to do damage. And with your point with the brutes, okay, well, maybe when you enter a room, the brute knocks your weapon away. It knocks away your AR, and you have to pick up a gravity hammer, or you have to pick up a gravity axe or sword and battle them that way.
Use one of the abilities or equipment that are on the map to get, you know, to get an advantage or something of that form. That'd be.
But yeah, there's lots of ways you could do a boss battle in Halo.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, you could make it all kinds of fun.
All that to say, it helps define supporting character roles and gives them a little bit better of a meaning when you're actually, at least for antagonizing supporting characters. Obviously, that's a little bit different for allied supporting characters. But yeah, we've just had so many seemingly pointless deaths in the Halo universe that.
Yep.
Yeah, Miranda's right there at the top of the list.
Yep.
I mean, I understand what they were doing, and they were trying, and what they were trying to show there, but it's like, really? You know, it was there just to tie up time while Chief came up the elevator. It was its only point.
Yeah. I would definitely put Miranda and Katz is probably at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to pointless deaths.
Agreed. I mean, at least with Emil and Carter, they served a purpose.
Yeah, with Cat's death, now
Johnson's kind of served a purpose.
You know, four zealots dropped down out of that ship and started fighting them, and she died that way. That would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah. Or a jackal with a beam rifle would have been better than a jackal with a needle rifle.
She's fighting off some elites so everybody else can get out.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason she gets caught and she's the distraction, and maybe she starts getting an upper hand, and then a jackal snipes her. You know, just add a little bit to it for these characters, and you know, it just it's a little tweaks.
Yep.
But that's not 343 story, so I don't blame them.
No.
But I mean, just going into, I wonder, from the gameplay demo, we saw the Infinite was all, like, destroyed and everything. Or, like, all the pieces said Infinite on it, right? Or Infinity, sorry.
Right.
I really hope that is not 343's say goodbye to everything that you hated about Halo 5 play. I really hope that is not it.
Well, if they do that, I hope they do it in a battle that you partake in.
Or in a way that just feels meaningful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate Osiris team. I do.
I don't think there's a lot of people that like. They might tolerate.
You gave us a game developing these characters to whatever extent you may feel personally. You gotta at least do them the justice of this is how we're gonna move on from that, if that's the road we're going. And do it with some respect, because there are people, I don't know where they are, but there are people out there that do care about Osiris and those characters.
Sure.
I care about all of them except Locke. The point is that the other three characters, they actually got some character development before they got thrust in front of us.
Yeah. I mean, granted, Tanaka and Vale were fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, you had to go into the extended universe to do that, which is not right. And they made that mistake with Halo 4. For you to really get Halo 4, you had to read the extended fiction. And then in Halo 5, to really understand Osiris, you had to take in this external fiction.
Right.
Yep.
But with, you know, Tanaka, Vale, and Buck, they did great character development with them. And then they just kind of shoved Locke in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Locke gets a made-for-TV movie that has really poor acting in it and a crappy story.
Yeah, with no fault to the actors.
No, I mean, the actors did the best they could with what they had.
The story was just not great. Quick shout to Hayden for the raid. Thanks, bud, for coming over. The other Hayden, the one we're most familiar with.
The real one.
The Hayden number two.
Hayden.
The G20, the G230, not the G240.
Right.
Not the little G240, the big G230.
Right. It was definitely one of those things with Halo 5 that, like you were saying, GT, had to read the books to really get the character backstory, but at least with Halo 5, it didn't feel like to get Halo 5 story, you had to read the books. So at least they didn't.
Exactly.
But it still definitely sucked from like a supporting character development perspective that if you really wanted to know.
Well, there wasn't any.
Basically, yeah.
There wasn't any in it. You were thrown, you know, these characters were thrown in your lap and you're like, here, you know, you learn about them. You learn what the little tidbits that they give you throughout the game, which isn't much.
Halo guy brought up a good one, Lasky, which I think is probably one of the better supporting characters that 343 has actually like made and has kept going.
I would be upset about Lasky. I mean,
like, Lasky is a good character, a good solid character.
Yeah, we've had two live action Halo things. One I love, one I hate. And if they get rid of the character from the one I love, I will be very upset. I will be very upset. I will be with you on that, Halo guy.
Yeah. Lasky, they've done a very good job with it. Honestly, like, to compliment Lasky, they've done a very good job with Palmer too. Like, I know there's people that hate Palmer's guts because of some of the lines that she unfortunately had in Halo 4 and Spartan Ops, but just as a character, I thought
she'd be taller.
Like, as a character, she's a very good character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her character.
Lasky, and the nice thing about Lasky and Palmer is throughout Halo 4, you got that character development.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you read external fiction, you got to see more of that story. But there was enough character development throughout Halo 4 and Spartan Ops that you really got to care about these characters and understand where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm. And that just made the leadership that Lasky provided in Halo 5 that much more meaningful and solidified. Like, okay, this is a character.
And makes you hate Del Rio even more.
Oh. Yeah. Unfortunately, Palmer and Roland got maybe a little bit of sidestep in Halo 5, but they were at least still there and were still a like, their presence was known and you at least kind of knew what their MO was going into things with Halo 5. But I definitely think Lasky's probably the best supporting character that 343 has developed so far. And it's good to see that he's still sticking around.
I hope he hangs around for Infinite.
I
really hope, I hope, like, the Infinity hangs around for Infinite too.
That's what scared me about that, the original gameplay reveal, is everything said Infinity. I'm like, what does that
mean? Mm.
And I feel like a lot of people kind of just forgot that was in that reveal. I mean, maybe passively forgot, like, if you bring it up, they'll be like, yeah, I know, that's weird. But, you know, that would really hurt. Lasky would hurt.
Yeah. The way I was looking at it is, yeah, there was a lot of stuff there that said Infinity on it, but I was more wondering if that was just like assets that were on Infinity that have been expended, you know, broadswords, longswords, pelicans, things like that. Infantry.
Yeah. I think it's just like IFF tags that was like, okay, this person is assigned to Infinity. So like probably at some point, Infinity was here for this battle, whatever happened. To what extent that we might see Infinity come back, we have to wait until the game comes out and we can play a campaign to see what that really entails. But until that point, it's just, we'll have to wait and find out, pretty much.
Little did we know UNSC Titanic was the next largest ship. And Leonardo DiCaprio is going to become a Spartan.
No.
There'll be a love story.
That would be funny.
And a steamy pelican scene.
Nice. Very nice. Other supporting characters that you guys want to mention? Do you want to touch on the audio logs and the superintendent from ODST, since you mentioned it, Haas, a little bit?
I was just... I don't know her name, but...
Sadie.
The gal from Sadie. I really enjoyed that story. Like, I'm glad I had beaten ODST and then was going around doing those audio logs in order, because I was just kind of like beelining it one to another. So I was able to kind of get that whole story in one session, I guess. And I enjoyed that side story a lot. So I always just kind of viewed her as a side character. I kind of wish she would have popped up somewhere else in another game down the road.
It would have been nice if she would have popped up, you know, towards the end of ODST somewhere in a cutscene or something.
That would have been,
you know.
Yeah.
The one thing I did like about Sadie's story is it helped you get to know Sadie, but it also helped you get to know the superintendent superintendent. And, you know, and the Virgil subroutine.
Yeah.
Because you hear Sadie conversating with this AI. And, you know, just like he's her father, you know, you're overprotective, let me be. And then you see that evolve in the game with the Hergot.
Yeah.
So it's... That little side story does a lot of character development for the main game. And it actually makes you kind of look at the game a little bit differently after you've gone through and had all these logs.
Adds a little bit more character to the world as you explore it as well.
Especially that very last one.
Yep. I mean, you actually see, like, as you unlock the last room, you see technically Sadie's father there, because...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, even with that side story, there is a conclusion to that in the world.
True.
Yeah, I think ODST tidied up its story pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely felt like that was going to be Bungie's last game.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes. Or what they wanted to be their last game.
Yep. They were still on contract, though, to do another one, so they did reach.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I liked Reach, and Reach has a really good story. The problem with it is it goes against an established story that was already there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before the end, or before the beginning, you already know the end.
Exactly. It's just the way they did things in that game, it kind of left, to people that read the extended fiction, it kind of left a bad taste in your mouth. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's a great story. It was told very well. It's just the fact that it contradicts so much other stuff that, you know, 343 is doing their best to try to clean it up and to explain the differences in the two stories. And, you know, they've come up with some pretty inventive ways of doing it. I'll put it that way. But it's still the story standing on its own. It leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth if you've already read the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I did really get the feeling that when Bungie was writing the story, they just wanted to write a story and get it done.
Yep.
But they did still write a good story.
They did. They then had, or 343 then had to kind of retcon or write some of the inconsistencies out. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, yeah, I would agree with you. It was a decent story. And you had a lot of good supporting characters in Reach for what Reach was.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, just with how vast the universe has gotten, a lot of the stuff that was set up in Halo 2 and how... Because Halo CE was definitely the start of everything, but then Halo 2 just did so much to blow up how big the Halo universe could be. And like just mm-hmm. introduced mm-hmm. so many things that I think you can tie... Obviously, everything ties back to Halo CE, but I think you still have to come through Halo 2 to get to CE just to get the foundation of how much this franchise has exploded.
Well, yeah, it really expanded the universe when it came to storytelling and characters.
Yeah, like everything after Halo 2 has been derived in some facet from what they told in Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have the ODST story, which obviously branched off during the Halo 2 campaign. Halo 3 is a direct finish from Halo 2. The derivative of the Forerunners and, like, who they were, again, filtering through Halo 2 and a lot of what was expanded there. Yeah, like, there's so much world-building that Bungie did with Halo 2 that it's hard to see the franchise without it.
Totally agree. I think the books that came around CE also helped, but those were very small, like they weren't big releases unless you were really into it.
Well, they did a good job of filling the gap between the two games.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Halo 2, just because it was the headline game on the headline console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what helped propel it. But, you know, I think there were some blocks in place thanks to the books prior to that happening.
Yeah, it's almost like Halo CE kind of laid the foundation and the books helped fill in the cracks.
Uh-huh.
But then...
And the cracks leading into the next game.
Yeah, but then Halo 2 is kind of almost what built the city.
Right.
So, like, Halo CE is like, okay, this is that first... house or government building or whatever, but then the city that built around it was because of the catalyst in Halo 2. And like, so like the first three books really helped develop a little bit more of the background on who the Covenant were, and then Blue Team, and then Master Chief's backstory a little bit. So that, again, kind of more foundational to Halo CE more directly. Then Cold Protocol kind of helped explaining a little bit more of some references that you hear in Halo CE, a little bit more world building in there. Contact Harvest, kind of adding Johnson into the mix. But Ghosts of Onyx, I think, was kind of the first book that really took a step outside of what was established in Halo CE and Halo 2 and started its own branch that now has kind of come back into the fold. So between Halo 2 and Ghosts of Onyx, I think, from my perspective, those are the main breaking points of the Halo universe and how it's exploded out into this mega multimedia franchise that it is. And I still will challenge anybody to go out and see another video game franchise that is as diverse and comprehensive as the Halo universe is. Because I just don't think outside of Halo that it exists anywhere. Like, Rusty has such a depth of world building that you get in comic books, in novels, in other multimedia, like the couple of live action things that we've gotten.
One, we don't count the other.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's an expansive universe, and we love it.
Looking forward to seeing what new supporting characters. I'm looking to see what Pilot is going to be.
I'm very curious about Pilot.
Like his original reveal, I was so into it. Second reveal with him kind of bickering with Chief, a little less into it, but that's fine. I mean, we're not seeing the whole thing together.
Yeah.
Because I really felt like in his first reveal, we were really kind of getting to know him and what he cares about, what he wanted. Where in the second one, it was like, I kind of got the, this is your new Cortana. Enjoy.
Well, I actually got that from the first one. That's kind of the way I thought.
When like he had like the little video of his daughter and wife, or
yeah. Well, yep. I mean, by the end of that first trailer,
okay.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is the character that's gonna fulfill that same role that the Cortana did.
This is your sidekick for the game.
It's not the Halo CE Cortana; it's the Halo 2 Cortana. It's the one that can be serious and then also crack jokes. At, you know, 5 seconds later, which is, they showed that in the campaign trailer, that, you know, the campaign demo, then you get to see kind of the smartass version of this character. And then you get to the latest trailer that they showed. And then now he's back to being that more serious, like, you know, how are you going to do this? You know, how is this even possible?
Yep.
Yeah, very different emotions, but still the same character.
Right.
Yeah, a lot more of a direct supporting character as the fact that, well, I mean, I guess in a way he could still be in your head with Radio, but.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of feeling probably more like a crossover role between Cortana and Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And we don't even know how much the weapon is going to be included in with the whole narrative either. Like, how early or late does that show up?
What we've seen so far is not actually the very beginning of the game. This is in the game a little bit, at least.
Yes.
From what 343 has said. I mean, we're not seeing the very beginning of the game, so there's something that happens before this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So whether it's, you know, one mission or four missions or two missions, we don't know. So there's something that happens before that first trailer that we saw, where we saw all the IFF tags.
Yep.
Or, well, sorry, the third one. There's something that happens before that, that leads up to that destruction, that leads up to Chief floating in space. So that's going to be a real key component of developing a lot of the characters that are in Infinite. At least a lot of the more mainstream characters, like Chief and Pilot, and the weapon.
It does excite me, too, that they're pulling in characters from Halo Wars 2, because the supporting characters in all the Halo Wars games have been phenomenal. From Forrest to Dr. Anders to Captain Cutter, the Arbiter, and now you have the whole Banished thing, and then how that's kind of exploded out of Halo Wars 2.
I've always enjoyed Captain Cutter.
Yep. He's got his own little snark, but is kind of that grizzled war veteran, which is, I hope there's some kind of appearance of Spirit of Fire or some nod to that, because what has been done in Halo Wars from a narrative perspective is just so enriching to the franchise.
Yep.
I'm actually kind of hoping that towards the end of the game, we wind up on the Ark. Ooh. Again.
I might have to sleep on that one a little bit. I'm not sure what I think about that. Suffice to say, supporting characters are a major piece of the Halo franchise, and we hope we get some that are meaningful. And with it, I mean, here's another interesting point. With it being a reset, I don't know how many opportunities there are outside of kind of some of the banished characters that we'll see of like losing characters or like boss battle type outside of that. Are we going to see a brand new defining time of, hey, these are your new supporting character roles for the franchise that we've lost, or they're replacements to ones that we've lost over the last 20 years? Because,
well, I do hope that they last more than one story.
Please.
Right.
Please.
Unlike Reach, where we get the six characters and, you know, four of them die by the end of the story. Or five of them die at the end of the story. Yeah. No, Noble Stick is still alive. He's hiding in a cave on Reach.
Nope, he's confirmed dead. For anyone who's wondering, he's confirmed dead.
Yeah, it's a lie. It's a conspiracy. I understand. Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with the killing off of characters, especially the way they did in Reach, because it made sense mostly. But as like the pilot, for instance, I don't think it will make sense to kill him off in this first story.
No, I would hope not. But if they do choose to do it, impact my soul.
Yeah,
that's all I ask.
Make me feel
it in a meaningful way that actually has purpose behind it, and do it in a way that's not just a live 1 second and dead the next.
Right.
It needs to be meaningful. Anything else you guys want to add before we start wrapping this up?
I'm good.
No, I think I got everything.
Last question before we wrap it up. Aside from what we've seen so far with, at least on the Allied side, we've seen basically Chief, the pilot, and the weapon. And then on the Banished side, we have Escherim and who knows what else. What other types of supporting characters would you want to see? Would you want to see other kind of prominent, like Marines or Spartans that maybe come in from aerial support, or any other significant like brutes or other, maybe like a Yap Yap type?
There's a brute that was pretty upset at the end of the last released Halo game that I sure would love to have him play a major role in this title that we just don't know about. But
from Halo Wars 2? You're talking about, why am I blanking on the name?
Because I am too.
Atriox?
Atriox!
Well, so I couldn't let him sweat it out for another couple of minutes, chat. I couldn't stand it anymore.
And then we would have no more.
It's like, oh, we're done on that note.
I wouldn't mind seeing something from Atriox. I wouldn't mind seeing something from some of the other brute captains.
With the whole Atriox thing, still, I mean, being still stuck on the arc possibly might be the explanation of why we're seeing this Escherim character instead of Atriox.
Well, if you'd catch up on your reading, you could answer that question. But anyway, I'm
working on it.
With the Atriox thing, that kind of falls in with the Infinity going to the Ark, or Chief going to the Ark, one way or the other.
Yep.
And I mean, we don't really have to do anything at the Ark, just the showing up at the Ark. You don't have to do a big battle or anything, but from Zeta Halo to the Ark, it's not a big jump.
It might be.
I mean, as far as story, because you're fighting the Banished on Zeta Halo. The next logical step is to find Atriox.
I mean, technically, I could see how that's possible with them doing basically the soft reboot. I'm wondering how much they're going to try to contain it within Zeta Halo.
Yeah.
As possible.
Like I said, the bulk of the campaign is going to be focused on Zeta Halo. But, it's like at the end of Halo 2, the world's crappiest ending. You get something like, not necessarily like that, but it just a tease for the next story.
Sure. We got a pretty good one-liner at the end of Halo 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the ending of Halo 2 is that bad, as a lot of people put it out.
The only thing it felt, it just felt like it cut the story off too quickly. I mean, don't get me wrong. The last lines of the game are great. Chief, you mind telling me what you're doing on that ship? I'm finishing the fight. Yeah, they're great lines, but it just felt, it really just let you down when you got the end of the game, especially when you get, you know, like Halo CE Legendary, you got a different ending. Halo 2, you didn't. Same damn ending.
True. And there wasn't necessarily like a climax near the end, other than like stopping the Halo. So I get that.
And, you know, Chief wasn't even there for that. That was Arbiter and Johnson and Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
True. So, you didn't get that final fight like you did in Halo CE, where you had, you know, well, you had the Warthog run, you know, which is escaping the Pillar of Autumn before it, you know, goes boom.
Yep. Then there was the cut Warthog run from Halo 2.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for the podcast tonight. I want to do a quick little shout out for the Forge contest for Fiesta Frenzy. The deadline has been extended to tomorrow or Saturday, either the August 20th or 21st, just to let people get some last minute things in. So far, there have been 40 maps submitted to the Forge contest, so GT and I will have quite the work ahead of us to get those sorted through and played on and judged over the next month and a half or so. And then the tournament side of things, we're going to be opening up registrations for that here in a few weeks and put an official announcement out on the website for people to sign up. Again, it's going to be a $2,000 prize pool for first, second, and third place. And all the maps that have been put into the Forge contest have a potential to be part of this tournament. Obviously, we'll take we'll just take the top ones to put them in the tournament, but we're going to have hopefully a lot of fun on these maps. We might even retcon the Fraggin' Friday to play some of these maps tomorrow. I'll leave that up to GT what he wants to do there. But we're looking forward to seeing the submissions that have been put forward. We're excited to get this tournament going as well. Hopefully we get this in squeezed in before Infinite. I think we'll be able to. We're looking at the tail end of October to host this tournament. So for those that are interested, make sure you are staying up to date on our socials, the Discord, and the website, and we will make the announcement when registration is live to register your team. There's some pretty exciting stuff. ForgeHub's actually been streaming it for the past couple of weeks doing some playtests on some maps. There's definitely some good ones out there. There's some that I've seen that I'm kind of questioning. Okay, there's some interesting art style. I'm not sure how that's going to go well with gameplay, but we'll take a gander at some of them and see what's up.
We're reserving opinions until we actually get our hands on them.
Exactly.
Kind of like Infinite.
We might be doing... Nice. For the rest of the folks on here, you can catch the podcast on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time over on Twitch. And then we have our Fraggin' Friday on 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. We also have Achieving Halo, which kicks off at 9:30 p.m. on Sundays, and those are all Eastern times. Currently going through some of the Season 7 challenges on MCC, since we have to get those done before Season 8 comes out here, and there's a few more that a few of us need to get. I think Prestige might be all the way done, but I know Keys has been working on some, Bobby's been working on some, I still have a few to get. So if you're looking for some help with any of those Season challenges, hit us up on Sunday nights. You can find us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We also have our Xbox Club and our Spartan Company, which we're still going for that Achilles helmet. We've also got Discord, which is where most of the community hangs out, and it's where we also have our poll for Fraggin' Friday. where we usually choose between MCC or Halo 5. You can find the podcast across many different podcasting services. I think we're pretty much on all of them that we can get our hands on. We're on iTunes, Amazon Music, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, pretty much where any major podcast subscription services are. If there's a place that we are not, please reach out to us and let us know. We will try to get that, get the podcast on that platform so you can continue to listen. If you want to help support the podcast, there's a number of different ways to do that. First of all, and easiest to do, is just helping share us on social media when we upload podcasts and when we go live on Twitch. You can also subscribe to us on Twitch. You can also support us through Patreon, which Prestige is going to be redeeming one of his rewards for Patreon this next week on the podcast. We also have shoutouts to Pins and Confel for their continued support through the Patreon as well. And if you so choose, you can also donate to us directly through PayPal by going to podtackler.com/donate. So next week we'll have Prestige on, hopefully a little more Halo news. If no Halo news, we'll continue our little Road to Infinite type discussions with the look back at the Halo franchise and the universe. And we'll hope to see you all there. Any parting words, GT and Haas?
Nothing for me right now. We're just get through these hopefully last dry days of information while we wait for Halo Infinite or future flights or whatever. Whatever 343's got for us, we're thirsty out here.
Well, if Gamescom is going to be anything with Xbox, hopefully there's some Halo there and it helps maybe kick off their marketing campaign, because I mean, we're starting to get down to the wire here. It's, what, 3-ish months before launch?
Yep.
Kill the demon.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in, whether via live stream on Twitch or via download. We'll see you all next week on Cracking Them Trucks.